The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Mr. Hennis from the International Labour Organization, recorded May 31st, 1974, in Geneva, Switzerland.
I come from the International Labour Organization, which is an organization in the United Nations family. It's the second organization after the United Nations itself, and it's interested in every form of labour, every form of activity connected with labour, and the protection of the worker. The welfare of the worker. And in many respects, of course, our preoccupations must overlap with yours in certain respects of the activities of man in general and his protection and his well-being.
So, according to our Vedic conception, the labor class man is supposed to be in the fourth class. First class man, intelligentsia, very intelligent, learned, or intelligent one who can understand up to God. To understand God, he requires great intelligence. So, first intelligent class of men have to, they are called Brahmana. The next intelligent class men, those who give protection to the society, Kshatriya, and the third class, those who produce food and distribute, their third class, and other, all others, their fourth class.
My organization is in fact concerned with the well-being of all four classes. It's not only with the laboring man, also primarily with the producers, but also with the managers, the leaders, and to a certain extent also with the protective classes, in that we're interested in the well-being of policemen, hospital personnel, doctors, nurses, that kind of social security workers, and that kind of person. We are interested in the intelligentsia, in that they are professional workers, often independent, whose professional rights and obligations need to be safeguarded and codified, laid down in the form of international labour standards. One of our activities, not perhaps now the most important, but one of the first.
No, my point is that because one is fourth class, therefore we are not interested in that. It is not my point. My point is that there are four classes of men. First class, second class, third class, fourth class.
Yes.
And our point of view, this Krishna consciousness movement, is meant for taking care of all classes of men. Although, by natural division, there are four classes of men, first class, second class, third class, fourth class. But the example generally given is like in your body, there are four divisions. The head division, the arm division, the belly division and the leg division. But all of them meant for keeping the body fit and body is meant for giving supply to everyone. But if you comparatively make division, the head comes the first division. The arms come to the second division, the belly comes the third division, and the legs come the fourth. So we should organize in such a way that all the classes are met in the society. Be happy. Not that we simply take care of the head. The same example. In your body, it is not your business. Just simply take care of the head or the leg. No, all the divisions of your body, you take it. That is healthy body. When your brain is working nicely, when your arms are working nicely, your abdomen is working nicely and legs are working nicely, then you are fit. If you simply take care of the legs, not of the brain, that is not a good healthy body.
Yeah. I think...
Just let me finish. So United Nations is taking care of the fourth class department of the society. What? They are taking care of the first class department. That is my question.
He's asking, what are they doing to care for that first division?
They are at the present moment in the society, there is very, very little care for the first class intellectual class of men.
The International Labour Organization has as one of its major aims to promote social justice. And that means that every class of worker, if you like, except the four categories that you mentioned, the intellectual, the productive, the protective, and the laboring classes, should each have their proper place in society, should each have a full measure of human dignity, and should each have a proper share in the rewards for labour, both purely material rewards and honours and dignity and leisure and time for free time for meditation and so on. In the International Labour Organization, we are not, like UNESCO, devoted to the more philosophical and cultural and educational aspects for the intelligentsia, but I would draw your attention to the fact that the UNESCO is very much concerned with looking after the head part of society.
But that is my request.
Well, that's UNESCO. That I can't answer upon very fully, but I would suggest that they are, that in that way, UNESCO, the United Nations through UNESCO, is very active in promoting culture and in stimulating philosophical thought. We, on our side, are more concerned with the place of the worker in society. And our organization is conceived along a peculiar model, which we call the tripartite system. The members of our organization are states, not governments, but states. And each state is represented in our conference by two government delegates, one delegate of the employers and one delegate of the workers. And so the decisions that are reached, the same pattern goes down through the other organs of the organization. But the decisions that are reached in the International Labour Organization are thus not decisions which are only those of the government or the governing classes. They are decisions which represent a very broad consensus of agreement between both the employers and the workers as well as governments. And to that extent, we do hope to find agreed solutions that have a very wide basis of ratification after they are agreed upon by these three different elements of society represented in our International Labour Conference and in the other organs of the International Labour Organization, we endeavour to get the decisions ratified by national governments. In other words, the people who are here go back to their countries and try and get the decisions ratified, so that a measure of uniformity in social justice and in the treatment of labour and in the protection of labour and in social security and in occupational safety and health and all of these things which are bound up with work and also payments to professional workers such as architects, nurses, doctors, people who work on a quite independent basis without being employed, not necessarily employees, veterinarians and so on. The conditions of employment for
these
people,
to basic conception, the higher class of men, first class, second class, third class, they never to be employed. They remain free. Only the fourth class men, they are employed.
Well, the third class would be what kind of
yes.
typical worker?
For third class men means making provision for the society, for eating. That is, it is stated, Krishi Goraksha Manijam. Krishi means agriculture.
Yes.
And Goraksha means cow protection.
Yeah.
And Manijam means trade. That means the third class man, they would give protection to the cows, produce enough food grain, and if there is excess, then it can be
trade.
So this is the business of the third class man.
That would cover businessmen and tradesmen,
yes.
and farmers.
Yes.
The International Labour Organization is very much concerned with
the
rule.
Farmers means nowadays, especially in the Western country, I see the farmer means they are raising cows for being killed. There is no cow protection.
That may well be the case. As it's not by any means certain.
I've seen in England, I've seen in America, they simply raise the cows for being killed in future. You see?
Yes.
But the duty of the agriculturist, they should give very, very protection to the cows, especially.
This doesn't apply to bulls and bullocks and male animals generally, does it?
No, bullocks also. Cow means bullock also.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And cow is feminine, bullock is the masculine.
So it's the whole bovine race that's protected and not just the cows themselves. Not just the female cows.
No, both the male and female.
Yes.
The bullocks are used for so many other purposes. They can till the field.
Yes.
They can be used
draft and
for transportation.
Yes.
So many other purposes.
Yeah.
We are spreading Krishna consciousness. During Krishna's time, Krishna was born of a very well-to-do father. But at that time, the bullocks were engaged for transportation from one village to another, or for carrying goods. Actually, the United Nations should now think how the whole human society can live peacefully for a purpose of life. Not whimsically, without any purpose. Now, anywhere we are preaching, we are going everywhere. If I ask any gentleman, any philosopher, any scientist, if I ask him, what is the purpose of life, he cannot explain. That means there is lack of intelligent class on that. Nobody knows what is the purpose of life.
Well, I think that the International Labour Organization is devoted to the reduction of inequalities between the different classes of men with a view to giving them all a better share of the good things of life, and by that to enable them to reach a greater degree of human happiness. As they understand it, as the people themselves understand it. It may be that they don't understand it right.
Nature's way is not better share, but equal share. Just like when you take foodstuff, put it in the stomach, and when it is easily digested and transformed into different secretion, and comes to the heart and become blood, there is equal distribution. Not that because brain is first class, therefore the blood transformation to the brain should go more. No, then it will be blood pressure, high blood pressure. This is nature's way. That. But when the energy goes to the brain, it acts differently. When the energy goes to the hands, it acts differently. The electricity energy is the same. But sometimes I working on the dictaphone, sometimes on the microphone, sometimes in electric heater, sometimes in refrigerator, the different apparatus are there. But the energy is the same, equal. Then, in that sense, the communistic idea that whatever energy is there, whatever resources are there, they should be equally distributed. Like, that is nature's way. From the body we can understand that when the uksa turns into secretion, goes to the heart and becomes blood, the blood is transfused through different veins, to different parts of the body, and in fine, every body is satisfied.
When you say equal shares, in certain things like food, I think that would probably be true. Of the general approach of...
I am not speaking of the food. I am speaking of the benefit. Benefit should be equally shared. Now, benefit means, suppose you can eat more than me. You can eat, say, half a pound of foodstuff, or I can eat 1 pound foodstuff. So, to give me food, 1 pound, and to give him food, 1/2 pound. That is equal. Because I require so much. Similarly, the benefit must be equal. As far as you require, I require, that therefore we call it benefit. There is not, I'm going to say, discrimination in deriving the benefit out of the energy produced in the body. Then everything will be all right. And if the brain works nicely, if the arms work nicely, if the stomach works nicely, and the legs work nicely, then you are a healthy body. You can do everything very nice.
And in taking the analogy into terms of the world society, you have a society which is properly integrated and properly balanced. This is an idea which is by no means alien to the...
My original point was that if we take simply care of the whole class division of the society.
Yes.
Do not take care of the first class division of the society. Then, in spite of taking care of the whole class society, it will not go very nice. Because the brain is not in order.
Yeah. I think that, in fact, that my organization is really intimately concerned.
That was my point. That is just like the legs.
Well, labor, in fact, means any kind of work, any kind of occupational activity that brings in.
But you cannot say that any kind of activities, but everyone has got particular type of activity.
Quite so.
You cannot say, I can do any kind of work. I can give you advice about spiritual life. But if you require medical advice, then you have to go to somebody else.
Yeah.
You cannot expect medical advice from me. So this is not a fact that everyone can do everything.
No, I agree.
There must be division. And each division must be maintained very nicely, then the whole society is all right.
That I would agree with. And my organization...
Perhaps one difference is that when we speak about the first class, or the head division, the intellectual class, we're speaking about a class that is people who belong to that class by qualification, not simply that they have some title, that they are professor, or that they are scholar. They have to be properly qualified.
It's difficult to be a professor or a doctor unless you have some kind of qualification.
Well, he says that it's difficult to be any kind of doctor or professor unless you are properly qualified.
No, from this point of view, he's right. Unless he has got the medical degrees, unless he's educated, he also says that thing. That unless one is sufficiently educated in medical science or legal science, he cannot be said a medical man or legal man.
You see, my organization represents all the states in the world, practically, all the states of any importance in the world, with the exception of a few like Monaco and San Marino and Andorra and that kind of place. And through my organization, the states of the world, and that doesn't only mean governments, express their concern and endeavour to improve the lot of all of the people who are active in some way in the economy and in modern society. These may be professional workers. We don't deal with medical doctors because that is the province of the World Health Organization. We don't deal with teachers because university professors and philosophers and so on, because that is more the province of UNESCO and they deal with it very thoroughly. We don't deal by any means fully with the actual production of foodstuffs. This is the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, that does it. But what we do, we look after the rewards that people get for the work they do in the ordinary way of life as employees in offices, in banks, in commerce, in shops, in trading. We are very interested in developing rural areas and in improving the lot of the rural worker, so that the rural worker will no longer be under a disadvantage by comparison with the workers in the towns, so that they will have proper facilities, proper leisure and proper opportunities for self-improvement in the country as well as in the town.
In America, the labor class is very highly paid.
Yeah.
Any labor class man can earn $25, $50 daily, very easily. But because there is no direction of the brain, these labor class of men, I have seen, they, especially this Negro, 51% of their drunkards. they spend their money in drinking. They do not know how to utilize the money. Yes. Because the brain is not giving direction. They have no brain. They have got so much money, how I shall utilize? As soon as he gets money, he uses it for drinking. You may think that you are sufficiently paying to the labor class, worker class, but because he is not guided by brain, he is misspending the money.
We are interested in that too. We are interested in that too.
We don't want to tell people how to spend their money. We think that this would be an incursion.
You have got to say, because he has got brain, because he is not guided by the brain, he will misspend and create disturbance in the society.
Well, we try to look after that in an indirect way. We don't, as I say, we don't tell people how to spend their money. We don't tell them what to do in their free time. We do try to make sure that they have proper facilities for leisure, that they have proper opportunities, sports grounds, swimming pools and so forth, although that's not our primary concern. But what we do try to do, and this will interest you very much, we have a very big program concerned with workers' education. We endeavor to provide programs of education to the worker in teaching him how to understand the problems of modern industry, to understand the problems of management, the people on the other side of the table, of the bargaining table, to understand how to read a balance sheet, for example, in a company, to understand what are the problems that face the management as distinct from the workers in a firm, to understand the basic rudiments of economics and finance, and that kind of thing. And this is a very highly developed program which is addressed to adult workers. Now, clearly, if a man wants to drink, he wants to drink. But we feel, and we then are not interested in the drink particularly, except in that it represents a hazard at work. When it represents a hazard at work and it may be dangerous to the man in his occupation, there, of course, we are interested in it, and we try to limit it in such ways as it is possible to limit it. But
improving the man's story, if I may mention this connection, Rupanuga Maharaj, one of our students, before joining the movement, was a social worker.
Hmm.
And he told me once a story about a particular case of a woman who was in a very destitute position. Her husband was in the hospital. She had five children, and one was... so many problems were there. And Rupanuga was going and giving her weekly money from the government welfare check. And one day he came unexpectedly, because part of his job was to see how they were using the money. And he found her there in her apartment with a strange man, and drugs and alcohol on the floors, and the children running naked. And he was obliged to stop giving her the money, simply because there had been no proper use of it. There was no point in giving it. It was not doing her any good. To improve her situation superficially wasn't improving the situation at all.
Yes. Well, of course, it's only by a long-term and general program of cultural improvement that you can hope to overcome that kind of problem. On the other hand, it would be, I think, wrong to argue from that experience that the provision of welfare benefits to all people who are destitute should be stopped. You see, it's true that these things are abused.
No, we don't want to say that.
It's true that these are abused, but the fact that a good thing is abused doesn't turn it into a bad thing.
No, that is not the point. No. Point is that everyone should be guided by the brain. Therefore, the brain must be maintained. That is all.
Well, as I say, to the extent that it has a bearing on improving a man's position in his job, improving his skills at work, and improving his ability to represent his fellow men in trade unions, and that kind of thing, we are concerned with it. We're concerned with generally improving his general culture
his general education, and in particular his education as a worker in relation to industrial and trade union life in general. We hope that by this means a man will improve his status, and by improving his status he'll have other things to think about than just getting drunk.
But that's the...
We find that in our society, all of our men, in whatever particular capacity of work they have, are now 100 times more productive than they were before they came to Krishna consciousness. Simply because now they have found peace of self, and therefore they're in a better position to execute their prescribed duties successfully.
But are you saying that they do more work?
Yes. No.
Who work longer?
Intelligent.
Not that. To be very hard working like ass, without any intelligence. Just like ass, the most hard working animal, but it has no intelligence. You see? So we don't want that. We want working with intelligence. And that is it.
Well, as I said, to that extent, we do try to improve a man's understanding. A man's understanding of the world. And I agree that it's the developed world, the industrialized world.
If he is not guided by the brain, or if he has no brain, well, what is the understanding? Understanding is, I have got money, now let me drink. That's all.
Yes. Of course, one can't force a man to be governed by his brain either. You can't force a man to use his brain.
Therefore, brain, the United Nations, or the world society, should keep a class of men who act as brain and guide everyone so that everyone becomes happy.
That is our meaning.
That's a valid point, because it has always been found in every society that there is a need for a priestly class, or a class of philosophical leaders of one kind or another. And in fact, this is recognized in the whole of the world society. I think not only in the West but in the East too. There's a need for the so-called priestly society.
They are amending the biblical injunction according to their whims. Just like in the Bible, the injunction is, thou shalt not kill. But the priestly class, and all classes, they are simply killing. So how they can guide? They are keeping regular slaughterhouse for killing. So how they can guide? I have asked so many Christian gentlemen, including priests, and they call your injunction is that thou shalt not kill. That is Lord Jesus Christ's order. Why you are violating this? They give me vague answers. Directly it is said, thou shalt not kill. And the whole world is simply killing poor animals and keeping up to their slaughterhouse.
Well, I suppose they're adopting the principle that you yourself advocated just now. You said that the proper society is one which is based
that
on...
That is lacking brain.
But the whole world, apart from human beings, the animal world is entirely composed of beings that eat one another. The only beings that are never eaten are whales and elephants. All of the others are eaten by some bigger animal. And I suppose that the justification that they have for maintaining slaughterhouses is it just a cleaner way of killing than for a lion to jump on the back of an antelope.
What is this? It's just
a cleaner way of killing
them. That it is the natural order that all animals, there are many species of animals that eat flesh.
Yeah.
And that man is simply following the natural order.
Natural, that means he should become animal. Like he should imitate like the animal. That is man's progress.
Well, that's no doubt the rationale.
I understand, but what? That we also say, that any living entity has to live by eating another living. That is nature. Jiva jiva so jivana. It is said in the Vedic literature.
Yeah.
That one living entity is the food for another living entity.
That is true. Just hear me.
But when you come to the form of human being, you should have discrimination.
Yes.
If you have no discrimination, simply live like animal, then what is the difference? My only point is the lack of brain. Human being, they are given by nature, they are also life. The fruits, the vegetables, the food grains, the meal, the sugar, they have got enough food value. And human beings should be satisfied within this group. Why they should maintain slaughter house and do not think that they are not sinful and still they want to be happy without caring for God? That is lack of brain.
My organization is not directly concerned with giving people brains.
Yes, organization may not be directly concerned.
It's not giving people brains.
But the human society, if it is brainless, however organization you may make, it will never become happy.
But it is concerned with taking away the obstacles that prevent people from attaining brain.
Oh, this is the obstacle.
One of the obstacles is just plain poverty. One of the obstacles is overwork.
A human being should be considerate. Everyone has got religion. Either he is Hindu or Muslim or Christian, it doesn't matter. There must be discrimination between sinful activities and pious activities.
Yes.
Human beings should be engaged for pious activities, not for sinful activities. That is human society. If the human being does not discriminate what is pious activities and what is sinful activity, that means lack of brain. He has no brain. He is no better than the animal.
Well, perhaps to make it clear for you, one of the natural results of this system is that a man that might be considered today impoverished, as you were mentioning, for example, some of the problems, a poor man, by our standards, is not necessarily poor if he is Krishna conscious. For example, in the Vedic culture, we are learning that a man is considered to be wealthy if he simply has a small patch of land and a cow and God consciousness, because his God consciousness will lead him to be satisfied by growing his own foods, taking milk from the cow. This is wealth according to Vedic standard.
Cow is specially recommended. Gorakshā, which is a very important animal to the society. If those who are meat eaters, they can eat the hogs and dogs, they can eat. The Vedic injunction is not prohibiting that. If you actually, a human being does not require to eat meat. He has got many other substitutes. But still, if he wants to eat, let him eat the less important animals. Let's say dog, hog. From the social point of view, it has no utility.
Yeah.
But why killing cows? It is delivering such a nice, nutritious food, milk. Not only milk, science, according to Vedic system, the cow is so important, even the urine, even the stool of cow is important. Besides that, from a moral point of view, you are drinking the milk of cow,
And after that, you are sending to the slaughter house. Do you like to send your mother to the slaughter house?
Yeah.
And the bull is giving, producing your food. Nowadays they have invented tractor or engaging sometime horse. But in India state, the bulls are engaged for tilling the ground, the field, and producers.
Mm.
So, from moral sense, the bull is producing your food and the cow is giving milk to you. Therefore, father and mother, just like father produces food for the children and mother gives the milk. So if the human society has not this simple brain of understanding, then where is brain?
Because when you speak of the distinction to be made between pious activities and sinful activities,
there are no such distinctions. There is no such distinction.
You have to establish first of all.
No, it is already there.
Consciousness of sin.
It is already there. That's why I think the Bhagavad Gita it is said that krishi goraksha banijam. Those who are interested in producing means of living or foodstuff in the society, say the mercantile, the agriculture, they should give protection to the cows. That is very essential. The milk is so important thing. If you get... Now, we have, in your Western country, we have introduced such ideas in West Virginia. We have started one community project where we are keeping cows also. The cows are giving more milk than in other farms. They're so jubilant. Even up to 80 pounds milk they're giving. Because they know that these people will not kill me. They know it. They're very happy. We don't kill their cubs. In other farms, as soon as the cub is there in front of the mother, they're killed. So, if these things go on, without any brain, without any intelligence, you may make hundreds of organizations. The society will never be happy. This is our verdict.
Your point was that the people need to be taught what is sin and what is pious activity?
Well, they can't be accused of engaging in sinful activities if they don't think that what they're doing is sinful.
Therefore, if they have no knowledge what is sinful, simply by instruction, don't do something sinful. What is the use? They must know. We give, in the beginning, in our society, these are sinful activities. What is that? Meat eating, sinful activities. And gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. You must give it. All these European American boys, they were habituated to all these things from the very birth. They did not know they are sinful. But since they have come to me, I have said these things are sinful. They have given them. So you must know what is the law of nature, what nature wants. Nature does not want, at least human beings should be sinful. Then you will be punished.
I think that there, in your whole philosophy, there must be a very large number of points of coincidence with the more materialist activities that we engage in. That is that... just trying to give people a fair share of the material things of life, and proper wages, decent houses, decent opportunities for feeding and for leisure.
Yeah, all that must be there, but without proper instruction simultaneously as to what is the goal of life.
Yes, but I don't think you can properly expect to indoctrinate people. I don't think at least you can't expect an international organization to indoctrinate people at the national level. I'm sure that the...
No, it is not national. It should be international.
Well, yes.
Just that everyone, United Nations, it is meant for international activity. Our only proposition is that as the international organization, even in United Nations, they should keep a class of men who should act as brain. Then it is all right. Well, without brain, simply legs and hands working, no direction, and that is not very good.
I think you have to see the Secretariat of the United Nations and the United Nations family of organizations, not so much as leaders and bosses and generals, if you like, but rather as the servants of mankind. I don't consider myself to be a leader.
Provided we get the chance.
I'm very much a servant of mankind with a view to helping people to reduce the differences between them, with a view to helping people to understand one another better. In my own particular branch in which I'm concerned, we endeavour to make people understand one another in the manner of an interpreter, if you'd like, to show that they can allow people to speak and understand of one another, and to enable them to comprehend each other's problems and understand why it isn't always...
If there is actual brain, there's no problem. Just like if I've got good brain, I want to take this thing in my pocket, but if I've got brain, then this will be stealing. Then I can refrain from it. But if I think that it is lying here, I can take what is there.
I think that your effort of philosophy and teaching must really be directed in the present state of affairs where countries are organized in the form of national states, must really be directed to the national leaders, the government, the people who exercise temporal and spiritual power in the various sovereign states. The United Nations is a forum for these sovereign states. The International Labour Organization is a forum for the sovereign states on certain subjects related to labour.
No, whatever subject may be, our point is the same. You just try to understand. If you can organize so many, but if there is lack of brain, the brain is not in order, then any amount of sub-organization will never be successful. That is my...
Yes, but there, some people are better endowed with brains than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some people haven't got brains or not much brains.
But at least the direction must have brains. That's the point.
Yeah, brain. This is the work of the first class man, this is the work of the second class man. Just like any organization, any office, these are for these men, the class, these are meant for the superintendent, these are meant for me. Everywhere, there must be organization. Not that everyone should work individually. No. There must be a managing board, managing director. He is giving direction. Under his direction, everyone is organized. So the United Nations, this was organized for the total benefit of the human society, but there is no department which is actually can be called the brain organized.
That's true. That's true.
That is my point.
To the servants of the membership and the membership of the international other states of the world, and if the governments of the states of the world, if Mr. Giscard d'Estaing, Mr. Nixon, and Mr. Wilson, and all the others don't have brain, then I'm afraid the United Nations can do nothing to give them brains. We are only the servants of these people. What we try and do
let them understand what they should do, what they should not do.
To the extent that it is possible for the Secretariat to shape and evolve a philosophy. We do try to do it, but of course we can't adopt a completely radical approach. We do what we can in the manner of a good servant and the manner of a good steward, to try and help the leaders along the right path in the right direction. The Divine Grace, I thank you very much indeed for this audience. It's been very kind of you.
I may be a madman. I've talked so many things in this hour.
It has been very interesting indeed, and I thank you very much indeed for giving me
I'm very much strict on this point, that if the society does not know what is sinful and what is bad, it is all useless.
Well, let's hope that there'll be a...
It can be a decoration that we describe, the decoration of the dead body. Anyone who has no brain, lost all brain, it is a dead body. So, a dead body you can decorate to your full satisfaction. But what is the use of decorating a dead body?
Well, thank you very much indeed.
Give him some prasad.
Oh, yes.
Please sit down for a moment.
I have to go because I have a...
If you can wait just 2 minutes, one tradition is that we always offer our guests prasad and foodstuffs that we prepare.
Thank you very much.
Just for one
moment. I have to go very shortly.
Perhaps only 2 minutes downstairs.
No, no, give him.
May I? Thank you very much. It's very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They come and they put forward their idea, and if you don't like it, well, oh. But if you like it, oh, very good man. They have their own ideas.
What is nonsense?
They don't take advantage.
From the result we see, nobody is happy. What is this idea? They have big scientists, big politicians, where is it? People are happy. They are simply fighting. Now, recently, in Rome, Italy, the communist and the fascist fought, and 6 innocent persons died. So where is the benefit of this in Antony? They do not have really brain. Manufacturing something, concocting something. Where is the brain? They have no discrimination between sinful activity and pious activity.
He admitted it.
Huh?
He admitted it.
Yes. In my any sane man will admit it. Cow is giving milk, mother, and bull is producing food, his father, and they are being killed. Is that human suicide? How they can be happy? There is no possibility. Regularly they are maintaining slaughterhouse, especially for the cows and bulls. Why don't you slaughter the dogs and hogs and eat? If you are meat eater, there are many meat eaters who eat dogs. Dog is useless, you can eat. Or hog is also useless. They are eating also dog and hog, or everything. Whatever they
eat. His point was that they can... He was thinking that man has the capacity for resolving his own problems. Simply we have to come together and organize.
Yes, that is natural organization. Why do they not think all these things?
There's no direction.
There's no brain. Therefore, for the last 20 years, before that, in our younger days, League of Nations, that was formulated in 1918-19. So they are trying to unite the whole nation under different names from 18, apart from other years. So, for the more than 55-60 years, they are all good brains of the nation. What they have done? That means they have no brain. The problems are increasing. Instead of decreasing the problem, they are increasing.
you use the example that in the United States
now there is fight between two opposite nations. Now within the nation there are so many opposite parties they are fighting. So instead of nationwide, it has become homely affair. My home, your home, fighting. That's all. All they belong to the same nation. So what is the improvement? Now in Italy, the fascist party and the communist party, they fought. And so many people died. So this will increase, increasing. Parties. So where is the brain?
So then the first point is to educate people who they are serving, who they are working for.
Yes. First of all, there must be a class of men, ideal men, brain, people will follow. My quest is therefore that you should become ideal man. If we fight, now there is fighting amongst ourselves. That is a very disappointment to me. The same politics intrigues. The nature is so strong that brain becomes what is called? Pack brain? Brain becomes deranged.
Mm. I remember on a walk in Vrindavan, the Divine Grace said that there should be no politics in our society because the Vaishnava means one who wants to help others become happy.
Now politics is coming. As soon as you are getting money, the politics is coming. And that is a great concern.
What will happen to our temples in the cities? Will we keep them? Our temples, and the big, big temples we have now.
We have to go everywhere. Wherever there is opportunity to instruct about this spiritual subject matter, we must go there. We should not have such discrimination. The city should be neglected, no. Why? They are also human beings. They are misled. So we have to give them a little instruction. Everywhere, the city, there is possibility. Whatever we have collected our land, that is from the city, not from the village. So why should we neglect city? Where is the question? All hobgoblin, the last one which I say, dressing the dead body, decorating the dead body. The society has no brain, that means dead body. When a man's brain is gone, his dead body, maybe he's living. There's no use. It's like madman. He's got life, but what is the use of that life? He's already dead. Because his brain is dead. Is it not? So the brain is lost, brain is deranged, and therefore it is dead body. There is a distinction between living body and dead body. A living man has got brain, he can walk with his brain. And the dead body, the body is there. Why he call it dead? His brain is not working. Brain is dead. That is the difference. Whether the hand is there, the dead man has also hand. The leg is there, the dead man has a leg. But why the hand is dead? Because the brain is dead.
Is it that the Shudra class of men should be trained that they're serving either God or a God-conscious leader? Or should they be educated to feel that their work is for God?
Yes, provided you are for God, they will see Allah. If you simply teach them, you do not do anything. And then how they learn? When they actually see that these men are dedicated to God, then they do what they're dedicated to.